Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favourite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah!
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited because the Oz Network is now on Patreon! That's right, your favourite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. Wow. For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made. You're listening to the Oz Movies Podcast, only on the Oz Network.
Welcome to the Oz Network, and get comfy, because we are here for the next 4.5 hours to talk about the year's best 4.5-hour-long movie, The Killers of the Flower Moon, a title that takes about 4.5 hours to get through. As many shots I'm taking at the length of this movie, I've already said I don't necessarily hate this movie. I don't mind it. It's not bad. It's got Brendan Fraser in it. That's all that matters.
I keep forgetting he's even in this movie. There he is.
We didn't even get to talk about him during Best Pictures last year. They gave us this as consolation. Killers of the Flower Moon, day number 7 of 10 days of Oscars.
And that's just for this movie. 7 days of covering this movie.
7 days. Stay tuned. This time next week, we'll be telling you what we'll cover the next week.
All right, we're halfway through. 7 days of this movie. Still another 7 to cover it all off.
My name is Colin, and you got a nice skin color. What color would you say that is?
And my name is Ben, and I don't like whiskey. I love whiskey.
Noah's on the podcast.
They really aren't the most quotable movies recently, are they? I wait till we get to Poor Things. That's a quote machine.
So I've kind of had an interesting experience with this movie. I wouldn't say that I am a massive fan of Martin Scorsese. I wouldn't say that I am a hater of Martin Scorsese. I would say that I find Martin Scorsese to be a very overrated director, in the same way that I've talked about Spielberg, I think last year when we did The Fablemans, that just because he's Martin Scorsese doesn't mean every movie he makes is brilliant. In fact, a lot of his movies are bad, like The Irishman. And I think if I go through maybe Martin Scorsese's entire filmography, I might find half of his movies that I thought were really good and half of them that I didn't like at all. He's made some great movies. This isn't necessarily a great movie, but it's not a bad movie. But I think that the weirdest thing about this is that this is one of the more recent ones I've seen. It's probably been about a month since I watched this movie.
So how long took you to watch it?
Well, I went into it assuming this is going to take me forever to watch. It's like 3.5-4 hours long. I finished it in 2 sittings. I was impressed with myself. But more than any of these other movies on here, you think that this one, which was the front runner, which has got this massive cast, Robert De Niro, Leonardo DiCaprio, Scorsese, Brendan Fraser, everybody else, that this would be the one to remember. And there's always that movie every year that you forget is nominated for Best Picture. This has been that movie that I keep thinking, like, why do I only come up with 9? And I'm like, Killers of the Flower Moon too. So as much as I think I did enjoy this more than I expected, this... I almost wish I could rewatch this again. I just don't have another 8 years. But it's turned out to be one of the ones that it's quickly leaving my mind.
Yeah, I kept forgetting this was nominated as well. And this was the one that I think that when it started to get that buzz, this was the one that I really actually wanted to see. Because this was kind of like a Barbie in that it was marketed very well. Like maybe not a movie that I feel I would generally go and watch. But then I saw the trailer. This looks actually quite good. This looks quite interesting. And everyone was talking about this. It's going to win everything. It's got nominated for 11 Oscars, so it's still getting some love out there. But yeah, I got through it in one sitting. Go me. Again, I also don't have a life, so that's probably also why. But like, to me, this is kind of like The Irishman. I remember The Irishman a few years ago being like, look, this is a fine film. It's got moments of it. This is better than The Irishman. I agree with you. You said that yesterday. But like, it's just too long. And I think that it's done in a level where it's like, I mean, I wouldn't have seen as many Martin Scorsese films as you have because clearly I'm not that arty, but like it's just, I think Noah summed it up the other day when he said, turn it into a mini-series. Like there's just certain elements of this where it fails to draw your attention. I think you said yesterday that it's kind of edited in a way that it holds your attention and it's fast-paced. I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's just like there are certain moments in this film where I was just like, okay, whatever, and I'd look away for 10 minutes. I look back up and I'm like, oh, so I jump onto Wikipedia. What happened? Oh, okay, cool. And like, I think the one thing that I don't know if you're going to agree with me this or not. Like, I saw a lot of people sort of saying that, like, oh, it's great that this is sort of representing Native American culture and telling a story of all this sort of stuff. But then some people would criticize it that it's almost like whitewashing it. I kind of agree with the whitewashing because I went into this film thinking that, again, I didn't know the story of the Osage. So I'm mispronouncing it. So I had no clue. So I thought this film was about Leonardo DiCaprio comes into this town and like this horrible abuse and everything, but he's going to come in and like he's going to save the day and he's going to be the white man who's like, you're all wrong, save. I didn't realize he was an evil prick too and murdering people. I didn't know that. So I think that like for a movie that's so focused on this culture and this story, it's all about the white man. So that's how I looked at it.
It's about them getting pretty harshly judged for what they did, though.
Well, fair enough. They murdered a bunch of Native Americans and stole their money. Judged them harshly. I think fair enough. But, like, at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, it just, this is a movie I'm never going to watch again, like The Irishman. But again, it's like, okay, I watched it, 3.5 hours. I'm a Leo fan. I think we've talked about this over the years. I know you've been indifferent about him. He's kind of a bit like the Meryl Streep in that he always gets nominated for whatever he does, except for this. I mean, again, I think you'd probably even agree with me that he probably deserves a best acting nod more than Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm rambling, kind of like this movie. It's fine.
I sort of agree with you because this is the type of story that, you know, hasn't necessarily been told before. I mean, typically when you're thinking about injustice against Native people. I mean, I'm not going to call them Native Americans because here in Canada, they're not Native American. Indigenous people is what indigenous. I would call them.
They're still called Native Americans in the United States, aren't they?
The United States, I think they do. But I mean, indigenous to you would be something else.
Well, I know, because I know living in Canada, it's similar to Australia. Like, it's kind of what do we call them?
Yeah, exactly. But like, you're going to be looking further back than this for atrocities. Yeah. And when this movie started, it's going through like this newsreel footage where it's talking about how they are the richest, this tribe or whatever is the richest nation on earth. I'm like, was this real? Like, did this actually happen? And I knew that there was a true story to this, but I thought that Martin Scorsese was maybe taking some creative liberties to make this a little bit more of like a very dramatized account of it. But it's like, no, this was completely real. And I think that was kind of fascinating, is that there was this period where they were the richest people in the world. And it's like, well, look what you took from them again. I really did love the idea behind the story is that you've got these atrocities against these people that are done in such a mobster type way. And I think this is where Martin Scorsese was probably the right director for this, because he's known for doing these mafia type Goodfellas and, you know, The Departed and stuff like that. And he handles this the same way, even though it's completely different. I think that it was the energy of this movie I was talking about yesterday, which partly is the editing. It's just how fast paced it is, because none of the scenes, there are scenes that go on a long time, but there's still something just very quick about like the acting, the energy the actors brought that. And again, maybe it made it more entertaining than it made it necessarily brilliant, but I love that. We are going to obviously talk about Lily Gladstone, I'm guessing.
You can talk about it now if you want. If you have nothing really to add on what you just said.
Yeah. I mean, I heard all the buzz behind her, but I've been burned so many years when you get the unknown actor who everybody's raving about, and then you see the movie and you're like, that's it?
Yeah.
I remember I mentioned, I don't think you were on that year, but West Side Story, when that came out, the actress Rachel Zegler, who ended up becoming like in the Shazam movies, and then she was in the Hunger Games movie last year. And I think she's about to be Snow White as well. But everybody was talking when West Side Story came out. Her performance is so good. She should have been nominated for an Oscar. And I saw it. I'm like, really? She's like the least impressive actor in this movie. She's not bad. But there's always that actor. And there was so much buzz about Lily Gladstone that I don't know whether I had sort of determined she's going to be another one of these that's just not as impressive as we're making it out to be. I thought she was probably the best thing in this movie. Again, is it the single greatest acting performance of the year? No, I'm going to pick Sandra Hüller over this. But she is the best thing in this movie. And she is a star that, like, she will go further than this movie. You get these actors that, you know, you're casting them for diversity's sake. You want to cast somebody who's authentic. They're unknown. And then they never really capitalize on that fame. There was the guy from Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks years ago. I can't remember what his name was, but sadly, I'm part of the problem here. But he even said when he went to the Oscars, he's like, I had to rent this tux. Like, I'm not spending a lot of money. I'm not making money. And he's had a couple acting roles since then. I honestly believe Lily Gladstone will become a star. She'll be fronting her own movies for years to come.
Well, we talked about that last year, didn't we, with Triangle of Sadness, where she didn't even get nominated for an Oscar, did she? But, like, she was getting nominated for a bunch of the other awards. I can't remember her name. But, yeah, look, I'm not disparaging. I mean, you're right. Lily Gladstone is probably the best thing about this movie. She's just the way she delivers this is done in a subtle way that is kind of just very grounded and very unique. And, you know, it's not over the top in your face style that I've sort of talking about Bradley Cooper and that sort of stuff. But again, I'm with you. Like I've not seen a sorry Annette Bening. I like you, Annette Bening. I really do like you, Annette Bening. Somebody we don't talk about on this podcast. We talk more about Annette Bening. But I've not seen Naiad, so I can't comment on that. But if I'm ranking the four of the movies that I've seen, you're number three. I'm putting you ahead of Carrie because of your name. But I think Emma Stone and Sandra Hull are much better and much more deserving. But again, I'm not going to disparage your congratulations. You will be an Oscar winner in a few days' time, Lily Gladstone, and deserved. It's not out there. But like, I think overall, like, I mean, Robert De Niro getting nominated. I think Leo was robbed over Robert De Niro. Again, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Leo because I know you're not a huge Leo fan, but I think Leonardo DiCaprio should have got nominated over Robert De Niro.
I mean, DiCaprio is great in this movie. First, I just want to say, Lily Gladstone, I was worried that they were going to put her in the supporting because that often happens in a movie where you have big, big stars like DiCaprio and De Niro, where even though she is the lead actress, they're like, well, let's put her in supporting. I'm glad they put her in lead actress.
If she was in supporting, she'd be second for me just because, I mean, again, I'm not saying Jodie, so I'll give it to my queen Jodie, but I mean, between her and Devine would have been tight. She's better than Emily Blunt. I mean, Emily Blunt was great, but does she deserve to get nominated?
Yeah. But like Leonardo DiCaprio, it's he always gives it his all. I find 100%. That he's a much more toned down Nicolas Cage to me, you know, where sometimes he gives his all and it's like, maybe that didn't suit this movie, you know, but in this one, it's a very difficult character and he sort of sets the tone for the movie. And this is that energy I was talking about between him and De Niro. De Niro is playing it very subtle. And a kind of a creepy way, De Niro. I love Robert De Niro in this movie. I think this might be, to me, the most entertaining thing Robert De Niro has done in a long time. And he is a terrible person in this movie, but he just draws you in. You're like, I know why people are following this guy, you know? But what's so interesting about all their performances is that there is this little bit of, I'm almost going to say cartooniness to this movie. It's a very serious subject matter, but when you go even further than DiCaprio or De Niro or Lily Gladstone, when you get into, I don't know how many hours I was waiting for Brendan Fraser to show up. When Brendan Fraser shows up, he is like so big and so bold and over the top.
He'd lost a bit of weight since The Whale.
but like Jesse Plemons, same thing. Like everybody has this little bit of like not quite reality to their performance. And then when you get to, I don't want to spoil what the final scene is, but the final scene in this movie where you essentially see a dramatization of this, you're like, oh, this entire thing is almost supposed to be presented like a bit of a dramatization. I think if Scorsese had gone the route of trying to make this a completely straight, dramatic movie, completely historically accurate, I mean, the stories might be completely historically accurate, but it's the tone of this movie that I found more interesting and entertaining than I expected because everybody is a little bit larger than life in this movie and a little bit like not quite real.
It's a good point because like, again, I always keep forgetting that Brendan Fraser was in this movie. And then I think at one point when I was going through the Wikipedia, just because, again, I'd missed out on a few scenes, casually, because that begins with a G, glanced at the cast, and I see the words Brendan Fraser. I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden, I'm going, well, where is he? Have I missed him? Like, I'm thinking, like, was he the private investigator? Was he, like, I'm kind of missed him. But then I've read through, and I'm like, oh, he doesn't appear right to the end. And he's very, like, cartoony in his first scene. Yeah. He's like, my client will not do it. I'm like, well, there he is. Academy Award winner Brendan, like John Lithgow's in this movie. I mean, I love Jesse Plemons too, don't get me wrong, but no disrespect to Jesse Plemons. He's always the same. Like, he's always just that, hello, sir, I'm Jesse Plemons. Like, he's very calm and to the point and collected and, like, you know, that sort of level of that.
It's so good, though.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's a Bradley Cooper in waiting. He's going to win an Oscar. He'll win an Oscar before Bradley Cooper because I think everyone just, poor Bradley. Why don't you like Bradley Cooper or Leonardo DiCaprio?
I mean, I have similar issues with both of them, but I would take DiCaprio over Bradley Cooper. Oh. And again, like Bradley Cooper's been good in a lot of things. It's just I've yet to really see him in anything where I'm like, wow, at least DiCaprio had The Revenant, you know, and The Departed.
I still haven't seen either. But anyway, but yeah, I like The cast, it just kind of blows your mind when all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's Brendan. And was this cast after he won the Oscar, or this was being filming around?
He was cast before, because this was where the whale, I don't even know if the whale had been released yet. This is where that famous video of Brendan Fraser crying because he saw the audience, like people on the internet's response to Martin Scorsese just cast Brendan Fraser, he's back. So it was even before The Whale when he was cast in this.
Oh, I mean, you look at that scene, you've got like Academy Award winner Leonardo DiCaprio, Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser, Academy Award winner Robert De Niro, soon to be Academy Award winner Lily Gladstone, I mean, future Academy Award winner Jesse Plemons. I mean, John Lithgow should probably win an Oscar. He's a great actor. He won Emmys and Golden Globes for Dexter, rightfully so. Stacked. But it's beautifully shot. And like the score, I kind of like that subtle score of that. And I was this filmed in like, was this set in like Wyoming, North Dakota, Oklahoma? Was this shot in the same place it was set?
Good question. I mean, I would think a lot of this a lot of it takes place in the, and you want to talk about just the production design, which this is nominated for production design as well. They constructed this entire, it didn't even occur to me until long after the movie was over. And it's like, there's no town that exists like this. And they have not only built houses, they've built like an entire front street. And like you go into so many buildings in this movie, like they basically had to build an entire town of that era, which is really impressive. I'm glad you mentioned the score too, because I mean, it does have a very unique score. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, Robbie Robertson, who does the score for this movie. Are you familiar with the band called The Band?
I've heard of The Band called The Band. could I tell you a song of The Band? No, I couldn't, but I've heard of them.
I mean, it's a Canadian band. Probably many people consider it one of the greatest Canadian bands of all time. Robbie Robertson was like the main songwriter in there and one of the only living members of it. But he sort of gotten into movie scoring, I think, back in like the 80s. He still kind of records his own music and everything. Basically a Canadian legend. And his music, it tends to be very unusual. And I think it suits this movie. And I'm glad that Scorsese didn't go with anything obvious for the score for this movie. And maybe that's why you may be surprised when you get to my rankings of this that it's not higher, because the way I'm talking up this movie is like I really enjoyed it. But I feel like everything about this movie kind of boils down to it was different than I expected. It was better than I expected to be. It was more entertaining than I expected to be. But is it like Best Picture winning worthy? When I'm looking at the awards this is up for, I don't know if I would pick this in any of these categories. I may pick it close for something like cinematography, maybe close for, you know, Best Actress, but I'm not picking this to win anything. And I also think this might be, that was that famous year, I think it was for Gangs in New York, where Scorsese made Gangs in New York and got nominated for like 10 Oscars and didn't win a single award or something like that.
Wasn't there one recently that also got nominated for about 10, or that wasn't like in the last year or two? Wasn't there last year somebody got nominated for like 10 or something like that?
It seems to happen almost every year now. But I mean, Scorsese's almost, he's pulling a Spielberg. He's chasing, I need to have one more Best Picture. I have to have one more Best Director. I think this gets him a lot closer than he's gotten since anything since Departed, but I don't know if he's actually going to get there. We got Picture, Director, Actress for Lily Gladstone, Supporting Actor for De Niro, Cinematography, Editing, Production Design, Costume Design, Original Score, Original Song. I don't know. I'm going to have to look at Original Song here. I don't even remember what the song was
Barbie
in this movie.
Barbie will win.
Oh, that. Barbie's nominated for two in that one. So that's kind of the Lion King effect. It's going to win at least one of those.
Yeah. Elvis, last year got nominated for 8, didn't win one. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
I did not win anything. This is, I think, where Oppenheimer is going to cancel so much out, because those are the two big movies as far as like all the 10 plus nominations or whatever. They're both similar movies, historical movies. They're both very heavily technical films. So I don't think this has a chance at beating Oppenheimer for editing. It might not beat it for production design. Both movies did the same thing. They had to construct an entire city on their own. Production design is losing Oppenheimer. Like, yeah, I don't see this necessarily being a front runner for anything at this point.
Well, I'm looking here, it's not. And even supporting actress, which I thought she was a front runner, Lily Gladstone.
I thought she was a lock.
According to this, Emma Stone's just ahead. But I think she'll win it. I really do think that's the only one that's going to win. But yeah, looking at everything else here, it's smack bang in the middle of best. These are goldderby.com. They sort of combine all the odds from experts and betting sites and everything along those lines. So it's smack bang number 5 in Picture. Director Scorsese's at the bottom. Gladstone second, according to their list. Robert De Niro, one above Sterling K. Brown. Wash your mouth out, Gold Derby. Come on. I think this has got better cinematography than Oppenheimer. That's just my opinion. I think that this should win it over Oppenheimer. Costume design, yeah. Barbie, probably the one that it maybe deserves to win. Yeah. I mean, film editing, yeah, this is good, but it's in the middle. Everything's in the middle here. Score, Oppenheimer's number one. This is number two. And yeah, so this is a song for my people. I'm not going to try and pronounce that in its native language there. But this is the song that it's been nominated for. I don't really remember that either. But yeah, this is the lowest of all of them. So yeah, look, if it's going to win any of them, it's going to be Best Actress, right? So, and again, I thought I was with you. I thought it was a lock, but apparently Emma Stone's slightly ahead. But I think last year, from memory, Brendan Fraser was slightly behind too, in second. So
yeah,
you know.
And I think that of the ones that we've gone through so far, I mean, I've still got, what, two movies left. Emma Stone's one of the only ones I haven't seen yet. I mean, I wouldn't be upset. We were kind of talking about this last year. It's like, we wanted Brenda to win, but if Austin Butler won, we would have been okay with it. Yeah. I think that's kind of how I feel about Lily Gladstone, you know? I'm okay with her winning, even though I prefer Sandra Hüller. But hey, if Sandra Hüller wins, I'm going to be a very happy man.
Yeah, I would love Sandra. I think, to me, again, as I said the other day, I stand by the fact that she is the most deserving of the nominees, but I'm going to defend my girl Emma. I think she's brilliant in Poor Things. So, yeah, I definitely won't be disappointed if Emma wins either. I know she's already won an Oscar, but yeah. But no, I think Lily's going to win it. We'll get to our predictions, obviously, in a couple of days.
Well, I'm still going to buy this movie, which is one up from even what I originally did to The Irishman. Are you on board with that?
No, I'm going to give it a high rent. I just think this is the first one I've rented of all of them. I just think at the end of the day, it's not a bad film. It's enjoyable in parts. It's just too long. It doesn't keep my interest for all of it. It's unique. It's beautifully shot. But like, versus these other ones where like I bought Anatomy of a Fall and Zone of Interest, but I said I would never rewatch Anatomy of a Fall again. I feel like if Killers of the Flower Moon was 45 minutes shorter, it's still a 3-hour film. Like if an hour shorter, I might watch it again. Or if it's a mini series, I might watch it again or something. But it's just, it's like, I feel similar to The Irishman. Like it's a good film. It's just, it's so long. More educational than The Irishman. Like again, I knew nothing of this story, and it's very interesting and very tragic that this happened.
That was a good take from Noah too, though, because even though I was not bored by any scene in this movie, and I would be okay with sitting down and watching this again and not having to fast forward scenes and not feeling like I'm getting tired or impatient. I don't think any movie needs to be this long unless you're like Lawrence of Arabia or something, or The Godfather Part Two.
Yeah.
This is excessive. You could have cut stuff and not sacrifice anything for the movie in this. Rankings. I mean, I've talked this movie up. I've probably talked it up, I guess, maybe a little bit more than Zone of Interest.
Nope. He's choking over his own thoughts.
Oh, this movie just gets me. Brendan Fraser gets me choked up every time.
What a man.
Props to Brendan Fraser. Props to Jesse Plemons, too. I want him winning an Oscar by next year. I mean, this, it's, I'm really torn between this and Zone of Interest. Maestro's dead last for me. That's not changing. Nothing is going to change it. I haven't seen Poor Things yet.
Wow.
But Poor Things, you're going to have to be pretty poor.
Willem Dafoe is like the Elephant Man. Come on.
But I think that I'll currently put this slightly above Zone of Interest, although they're close enough that, like, I don't know, a couple of days from now, I may completely reverse my opinion on that.
So what? This is our seventh film. This will come in at number six. I mean, it's the only one I've rented. I binned Maestro and I bought all the others, so it's kind of obvious where it has to go. Again, it's entertaining in parts. It's just way too long. Number seven for me. Six. It's weird
seven,
when
seven,
I
six, seven.
I can look at my list of 10 and I'm trying to eliminate the ones we haven't done. So it's hard to work out. So this would be second last, so it would be six right now. One ahead of Maestro.
Well, we've only got, what, three of these to go?
We do. Two that we've already technically done, but we'll revisit. And then, we're doing Barbie next, so.
We're doing Barbie, yeah. And I guess Poor Things will have to be second last. We're going to save Oppenheimer for last. But Barbie, we've both seen this before, so I don't expect much to change with Ben's opinion. I don't expect much to change with my opinion.
Well.
I don't even remember what I originally did with this movie, whether I rented it, bought it, or anything.
I think you bought it from memory. You rented it.
I rented it. There we go. So, I mean, if my opinion hasn't changed by this time tomorrow, then this might be second bottom of my list. We don't know. But I still have some good things to vent. I'm going to find it more interesting tomorrow talking about this being nominated for Academy Awards, like, does this deserve it and stuff like that. I have some opinions on that and some defenses of that. So we'll get to that tomorrow. And is it today or is it tomorrow that Ghostbusters Month starts?
It is happy day today.
Oh, you may have already heard it.
Ghostbusters. Yes, it's today.
Ghostbusters Month starts with the best one. The could be the only one.
The women's one.
No, I love Ghostbusters. We're starting with the women's one, yeah. Go hand in hand with Barbie, right? So Ghostbusters Month and Barbie coming tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. My name is Colin. I'm just biding my time till we run to 3 hours and 45 minutes.
And my name is Ben, and I'm Brendan Fraser!
Thanks for downloading this episode of the Oz Network. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or by copying our RSS feed into your preferred podcast provider. And while you're there, please drop us a rating and leave us some feedback. You can also be sure to stay up to date with all the latest episodes and happenings from the show, as well as finding out how you can get involved in upcoming episodes by following our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as getting everything you need under one roof at theoznetwork.net. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak to you next time. Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favorite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah.
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited because the Oz Network is now on Patreon. That's right, your favourite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. Wow! For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made.